Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. Well, tonight I want to share with you understanding Christian metaphors. And for some of you may not understand, the Bible is really, in fact, the world is filled with metaphors. Nature itself, I love the message that Pastor Dan brought this morning because it was so great about creation. And yet creation itself speaks in metaphors about things. Metaphors, for those of you who don't understand, are figurative words that describe something that maybe should be involved in your life. And God speaks that way oftentimes using figurative examples of something. For an example, let me just say this. A metaphor in the natural world would be a butterfly. A butterfly, let's take an example of that. He is a little worm or a little, you know, what do they call those things? Little, some kind of, you know, oh, that's it. And then he goes into a cocoon, you know, and he makes his cocoon. He sits there and he comes out completely different. There's something that took place. And it speaks of life. It speaks of the birth of people's lives upon the planet. How we go from one sense of acceptance and abilities in the world, and then something happens and we get born again, and all of a sudden we're in this different world with different directions, different purposes, different goals and dreams and everything. And it becomes like a literal, if you will, natural metaphor. And God uses that all through scriptures oftentimes. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but let me give you a little bit more illustration of figurative speaking, and let's talk about it just for a second, the metaphors, and I can't give them all to you because the Bible's just filled with them, but they actually give you insight on how you have responsibility and how you have influence in your life. And God speaks through metaphors oftentimes. He'll speak, if you will, through the one who runs a race and gives you an illustration of the race because it's a metaphor about how to live your life. Our one who is with the winds of the waves and the waters and the fish and the lives and loaves, because it gives you a metaphor. Let me give you an example. Here's a metaphor that we all understand. Let's just practice just a little bit, see how good you are. I want you to answer out loud. He blew his top, which means he is what? Angry. Hey, two of you got it. Great. So let's try it again, okay? Let's try a different metaphor. He has lightning reflexes, which means really fast, huh? So that's a metaphor, lightning reflexes. And then all of a sudden we see this. He says, he is runs like a deer. How about that one? He's what? He's a great runner. Or how about this one? I could eat a horse, which really means I'm really what? Hungry. And so here's all these things that we say all the time, realizing that we're saying something to make an expression about something. God uses these metaphors oftentimes in scriptures, talking about you. And a lot of times when we take these metaphors and we put them together, we actually get a desire of God for our lives. We actually get directions, we actually get responsibilities, and we start to realize the influence that you and I really have in a lost and dying world. Listen, Christians are not born again because they just sit around, do nothing. You become the hands of God. You become the shoulders of God on this planet. You become the heart of God. And we've so missed that over the years in Christian churches. You've become the mouthpiece of God. There's a purpose why God left you here on this earth. And oftentimes metaphors speak about those things. And these figurative expressions, metaphors usually a longer expression, like a middle to mild little story. But in this particular case, he might use a word and it becomes a metaphor. And let's take a look at it. There's seven of them I want to give to you tonight that make an expression about you. And it gives you insight into the influence that you have as a Christian and also the responsibilities that you should be operating in as a Christian. These seven little things, is that okay? Let's take a look at number one. Number one is this. It is salt. That God uses the terminology salt, S-A-L-T, to describe when you're born of the Spirit of God, what you should be. Salt is a preserving agent. In other words, salt is that which preserves that which it is around. It also is not just a preserving agent. It is also a seasoning and brings flavor and zest into the areas that salt applied to. Salt is very important for life. And this metaphor that he describes you and me as salt is making a statement that around you, you are the preserving agent. I really believe, and God says this, oftentimes there'll be one Christian that's in a family, there's one single Christian, and it'll preserve the whole family for that one Christian. You see that in the Old Testament with Abraham and Lot. That just one, just if there's just one, you know, if there's just five or there's just two, they become preserving agents of those world around you. I've actually heard stories that this one Christian was operating in, and they had the job, and the job was going to be closed. They kept it open until he left and went to another job. It was almost like God preserved the company to keep the Christian working until he got to another job and then shut the whole job down, the whole business down. Because you become a preserving agent to your friends, a preserving agent to your relatives, a preserving agent, if you will, to the life. God wants to use you as salt that preserves and brings flavor to life. I don't know about you, I thought my life was good as a sinner, but I tell you this right now, I had so much more fun as a Christian. And I one time even made a statement, if all that we preached wasn't even real, I'd still be a Christian. Because it's not a robbing of the joy, it's a setting free of life. And it's just so wonderful to be in a place. Of course, all that we preach is real and has been proved by thousands of years of the Word of God. So therefore, here he uses the word salt. Let's take a look at it. Turn with me to Matthew in the 5th chapter. In Matthew, in your Bible, write this down because it's kind of fun as a preserving agent. God wants you to preserve that which you are in contact with so that they don't absolutely fall, fail, and just end up in hell. And we are a preserving agent. Listen to this. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse number 13. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Does God love all mankind? Absolutely. Did Jesus die for everybody? You bet. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. God loves humanity. But that doesn't mean because he loves humanity that he agrees with everything humanity does. Because love and approval are two separate things. He will never stop loving, but that doesn't mean that he always approves of my actions and lifestyle. Yeah. So therefore, I have got to realize that God's calling me to do something to the world around me. I oftentimes can't reach the world over there, or I don't know what's going on in that country or the other side of our own country. I don't know how the politics and politicians live. I don't know how to do those things, but in my world, I can be the preserving agent. In my world, I can carry that message of the good news. I can live that kind of a life, preserving agent. He says this, you are not gonna be, not hope you are. You need to start seeing yourself as a you are. I am. That means this is now. This is not, I didn't write this, guys. This is the inspired word of God. Been around for thousands and thousands of years, being tested by tens of millions of theologians over the years that study the Greek and Hebrew and everything. And here we come along. We think we're so smart. But here's how smart really works. You are. You are the salt. I don't often act like the salt. God, quiet here in this church. You may not always act like the salt, you know, because we still carry this flesh around. Mine a little bit more since I retired, trying to get rid of it, but boy, I find it difficult. And I want you to know something. You are the salt of the earth, that preserving agent that's going to take and scatter that all over everybody around you. But if the salt loses its flavor, he says this, now shall it be seasoned. In other words, if we don't think of ourselves as the seasoning agent for the world, you go to work as a doctor, you go to work as an attorney, you go to work, I'm just looking at people, as a doctor, as a judge, you go to work as a painter, a house painter, a maintenance person, a guy that works in an automobile shop. I look around, I see people, you go to work, and oftentimes you see yourself as what you do. And instead of seeing yourself as what you are, I am here, God placed me here because I am the salt. Yeah. Yeah. So when the whole world seems to come with their dirty jokes and their foul expressions and their criticisms and their garbage, guess what I can say? I can stand up and be the preserving agent and make the comment about Jesus. But if I lose my flavor, then it says it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under feet. And notice this, by men. In other words, there's a lot of people who start out as Christians. You know them. 5 years later, they've lost their salt. First year, man, they're very excited. Second year, they're really pretty excited. Third year, they're pretty excited. Fourth year, they're starting to wean away. They're starting to think of other things. Fifth year, they're back doing this stuff. You know, I'm serious. When you lose your flavor, when you lose that zest, that salt, if you will, that preserving ability to the surround of your life, then what you do is you become good for nothing. And then the world tramples on you. That's crazy. It's a metaphor, your salt. While you're there in Matthew 5th chapter, let's look at number 2. You're the light. I like what it says in verse number 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. A light, it isn't something I have to do. It is something that I am. And I recognize that I'm the light. Can I just say this to you? The light always, according to Scripture, overcomes darkness. The light is more powerful than darkness, according to Scripture. Go home, open up a closet, and see if the darkness of the closet comes into your room, or if your room light goes into the closet. That'll just tell you right there. That's the way we are. We are the light, listen to this, of the world. What does that mean? We ought to be people that people see that we are the light of the world. In the midst of darkness, we can bring hope. In the midst of decay, we can bring restoration. In the midst of filth, we can bring cleanliness. In the midst of bondage, you get freedom. Oh my goodness sakes alive. To the broken, you're no longer broken and down. Why? Because we're the light. We have something on the inside of us that brings light into the darkness of all rooms. And when they walk in, I used to work as a young man as a Christian in Beverly Hills. I was vice president of an insurance company in Beverly Hills. And I was, but 21 years old. And I remember in Beverly Hills, my office was a penthouse in one of the high rises there. And I'd always eat lunch at this certain place. And, as a young Christian, I was really salt and light. Wherever I went, man, I was just like, I wasn't in everybody's face because I don't like those kind of Christians that beat you up with the Bible and all that stuff. But I wanted to live the life that everybody knew. And it was really funny because the only place to eat around our building was a Jewish delicatessen. Man, I love Jewish delicatessens. I drive from here to Palm Springs all the time to eat Shermans. I understand that food. I like that food. That food is not good for me. But I like it, you know? So here I am in this Jewish delicatessen. And in those days, the tables are so crowded. If you got a seat, you just sat. There might be 6 other people at the table you don't know. And I would just, the conversation's going on, and I'd put my pastrami on rye. Mm-hmm. I'd put it down, that little cup of soup down. Oh my goodness sakes alive. I'm finishing this message and going home. That's all. I'm gonna go eat right now. And you know, the thing of it is this, is that I knew that I was to be a salt and light. And I dropped my head, you know, and started praying. I didn't pray to be abrasive. Don't you just dislike people that are abrasive? You don't have to be abrasive to get your message across. Love never fails. And so I had my head down and said, thank you, God, Jesus, for this. And it was just not, I wasn't going to compromise and just say God. I said the word Jesus, and all the people at the table were probably Jewish. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, thank you so much. Forgive these rotten sinners on this table. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Some of you would do that, though. No, I didn't. I didn't say I didn't feel like it, but I didn't do that. You know what I did? I just simply said, oh, God, thank you for the food. I prayed. And while I was praying, I noticed the whole, not just my table, I watched the atmosphere change. And you can feel while you're praying, oftentimes, you Christians, listen to me, try it in a restaurant that's public and watch the sound level go back down. And it's like, oh my goodness, something just came into the room. It's the Holy Spirit. And you'll see, has anybody else ever experienced that when you're praying in a restaurant or a public place like that? Four of you, thank God for four of you. The rest of you got a great experience ahead of you. Number three, a metaphor or figurative words that Jesus uses to tell us about our influence and responsibility. First one, salt. Second one, light. Third one, I like this one, branches. Branch. You know, you stop and think about branches. You know, you branches. Yeah, that's what it says. Branches. Branches produce and bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Without the branches, listen to this, there's no production of the fruit. Now the Bible tells us the fruit of God or the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. That's what it says, fruit of the Spirit. And so here's the fruit of the Spirit, but the Spirit dwells in me, so I'm the branch that holds the production of the fruit. And without the branch, there is no fruit. Without you carrying the production of the fruit, there's never going to be display of the power and of the things of God to a lost, dying world. And we find ourselves in a place not realizing that we are literally the carriers of God's Holy Spirit that brings forth the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, temperance, meekness. All the fruit of the Spirit is there, and we're producers of it. That's amazing. Notice what it says in John 15 chapter, verse number 5, if you will. I am, it says, the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him. Now, stop right there. That's kind of interesting. He who abides. It's not just somebody who calls himself a Christian. You ever seen Christians? You know, sometimes Christians can really be irritating. I mean, it's like, you can't tell them from anybody. I mean, if that's being a Christian, just saying you're a Christian, I don't think so. And it's kind of irritating if you really want to know. But it says, he who abides. The word abide, circle it in your Bible, it means to live, stay, and dwell. That means you live in, stay in, dwell in God. He says, and I in him. In other words, God will live, stay, and dwell in you. And he says, and then the promise comes, bears. And the Bible says bears much fruit. But then you know, somewhere else in the Bible, it says it like this. You'll know them, who, Christians, by their what? Fruit. We have a whole church wanting to sit around and not be anything. A whole church around the world, this church called the Church of Christ, sitting and going to church on Sunday and living like the world the rest of the time. It's not acceptable. Now believe me, it's going to be unacceptable to God too. Yeah. For without me, you can do nothing. Why? Because he's the vine. You need to be hooked in as a branch that carries the fruit. Is anybody listening? Third metaphor is branches. The fourth metaphor is kind of interesting. It's epistles. You say, what the heck is an epistle? It's a book. I remember when I was a Christian, young Christian, there's people who used to think the epistles were the wives of the apostles. It's not true. Thank God you grew up and learned that the epistles are not the wives of the apostles. Epistles are the books. It's a New Testament book. Paul writes letters, if you will, that are the epistles. These letters, these written letters are epistles. But it's not only that he's talking about what's in the Bible, he actually refers to you and me as an epistle. In other words, can I just say it like this? We are the book that a lot of people read. They don't just pick up the Bible and start reading it. Why would they? But they watch you. They read you. And when they see you're a stinker, they go, not any different than me. And sometimes we don't realize that we are the witness that God wants us to be by being read by the people. God, if they know you're a Christian, they're watching you. They want to know if it's real or not. You know, they want to know if this is for real. And the only book they're going to read is your life. How are you going to live it? What are you going to be? So it makes a statement, which is so interesting, and I love this, in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. If you want to turn there in your Bible, because there's a lot of things that you might want to underline in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. In verse number 2, it says these words, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read. That's a promise from God. Sometimes you don't think anybody is looking, somebody, you don't think anybody cares. And you say to yourself, wow, I don't know what it is. I think I told you last time, I like grocery shopping. I don't know what, no, don't look at the belly. That's not fair. I like grocery shopping, you know, and I don't know what it is. Mama doesn't do much grocery shopping. And when she does go grocery shopping, don't tell her she's not here right now, but don't tell her she buys the same thing over and over again. It's like, yeah, we already have that, four of them. And, you know, so it's okay, you know, it's the way it is. And so I like to go grocery shopping because I do that little list thing on my phone, kind of cool, huh? I like iPhones. And so I make the little list out and I go grocery shopping. And when I go grocery shopping, I find myself in a place that I decided, remember how I told you, to walk around the store smiling. Yeah. Just walk. Push the cart, limping along, smiling. I just started smiling. And people are looking at me so weird. I mean, I disrupted the entire Albertsons grocery store. And they would come down the aisle, they'd see me smile, and they'd get past me. They'd think, oh, old guy's weird. You know, but then and then you catch them on the next aisle going the opposite direction. Has anybody ever done that? Huh? And you know what I'm talking about. And I'm still smiling. Now they're smiling. Then I catch them the next aisle. They say, how's your day? I said, couldn't be better. I may not have said anything about Christ, but somebody was smiling. And just them living your life out, people are watching you. Now, if you live your life like everybody else, and you're not the salt, you're not the light, you're not the branch, then you're not gonna be any different. Yeah. And when they watch you, they see no difference. But if you do something you ought to be doing is just plain flat smiling because Jesus lives on the inside. And here's what Jesus says to me about this world that's falling and failing. It's all okay, I'm gonna take care of everything. The eastern sky's gonna split and I'm coming back. Hallelujah, maybe tonight. But here's my point. My point is, if I know the end,
I ought to be smiling. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Except when you wake me up from a nap or wake me up in the middle of the night. Debbie says, that's it. I'm never going to disturb you in the middle of the night. I would tell you about our honeymoon night. You want to hear about it? No, you don't want to hear. I'm not going to tell you. Because it was 40 years ago and I don't remember anyway. So here it is. God's looking at you to be seen by everybody. You are the epistle. Number five. I love the word. You are the ambassadors. Ambassadors simply is describing that you are representing God. So he calls you his ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians, once again, just pop it up if you would for me. And it says this, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God, I love this, we're pleading through us. If God is begging these apostles, listen to this, pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Some of you need to be reconciled to God tonight. And you're in the right place to have that happen. But we need to. And he says, man, I'm like begging you. Why? Because he's a representative of God. You know, I was a representative of a lot of things in life. Professional sports and, you know, business. A lot of business in my life before I became a representative of God. And I understand that for a lot of you. You represent something. But the real number one thing that you represent is you're an ambassador for Christ, and you represent, can you imagine such a crazy statement? You represent, can you even think of this? You, I mean, I know you. You pick your nose in bed at night. I know you, I know how you put your pants on. I know you when you slam your door, finger in the door, you cuss. Guess what? You could be too human for God to ever use you as a representative, but God does. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Let's be honest with each other tonight. It's not like I care in my mid-70s what you think of me. I'm just gonna tell you the truth. I don't give a flip. So here it is. God can use you as an ambassador if you see yourself as an ambassador. You're one who is carrying Christ to a lost and dying world, and you represent him. Come on, you ought to give the Lord a great big praise. That's an exciting adventure, which is kind of cool. The sixth one I wanted to present to you, I found in Scripture, is the word steward, that you are stewards. We are, I love this, distributors of God's goods. Did you know that I'm the West Coast distributor of God's mercy? I'm the West, so are you. I'm the West Coast distributor of God's kindness. I'm the West Coast distributor of God's grace. In other words, anybody and everybody, every person's ever been broke down, busted, and disgusted, I got good news for you. You don't have to be broken down, busted, and disgusted any longer. God will make you, man, more than a conqueror, and greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Now, here's the point. The point being is this. I'm a person who distributes his goods. I don't only get to live in his goods, I get to distribute his goods. Come on now. Are you hearing me? And how good has that been over the years to be a distributor? You say, well, you're a pastor. So? For 40 years, I've been a senior pastor. So? I'm not any different than you. I put my pants on like you do, put my shoes on. I don't even have socks on. Someone said, man, it's cool if you don't wear socks. That's in nowadays. I said, great, I've been in for 20 years. I hate socks. See, and your pants are all torn up down at the bottom. That's cool. Yeah, I know. I mean, man, 73 years old. I am cool. I'm as cool. I'm getting colder, too. They're going to lay me in a box, but I'm not going to be there. I'm going to heaven with my Jesus. And I can rejoice over that because I have been a West Coast distributor of his goods and his kindness and his love and his mercy and his grace. Instead of the judge, let him judge. Stop judging. Let him figure this all out. You just tell people how good he is. Are you listening to me at all? I love this.
It says in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift.
Now that's a bizarre statement right there. Every one of you don't think you have anything? Someone's been lying to you. Because this verse says something. As each one has received a gift. You know, your giftings might be different than my giftings. Your giftings are different than their giftings. And their giftings are as important to match up with your giftings, because your giftings match up with their giftings, and that we need each other. Because we all take our gifts, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and we contribute to each other of the building of the body of Christ through the giftings that God gave and placed inside of us. Every joint supplieth, the Bible says. And God calls us a joint. There's a metaphor for you. A joint didn't call you a bone that you just stay still. The joint is what flexes everything. Without a joint, man, you'd be walking around. I used to dance like that. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Is that cool? I mean, one might be exhortation. You know, might be another one might be economics. We give and we minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And God calls us stewards. In other words, carrying. And here he comes along and he makes it very clear that we're the distributors of his grace. Number 7, here's a little metaphor that I thought was kind of fun. Witnesses. Oh, a witness is kind of like you think of somebody who's out there telling somebody about Jesus. But we saw that it's had so far absolutely nothing to do about you opening your mouth. But here comes your mouth. This is where you are a witness. You actually become the testimony of God in the flesh. Good. Well, let me say that again. You actually become the testimony of God in the flesh. Listen, here I am. If I was down, defeated, destroyed, my family was destroyed, my children were destroyed, my life was destroyed, and I'm standing in front of you trying to tell you how to live life, you wouldn't want to listen. But I am a living memorial. After 40 years of being a theologian, I am a living memorial or testament of his goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his reality. And I am a testimony of God. And you live your life as a person who is a person of testimony. You actually become the witness of how good God is and how wonderful he is. Isn't that tremendous? And so the Bible says in Isaiah, turn with me if you will, into Isaiah the 43rd chapter and verse number 10. Isaiah 43 verse number 10 says it like this, and I love this. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. Is that great? You are my witnesses. One translation says, you are my testimony, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me. And I like this, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. And we get to be his testimony, his witness, as we witness of his goodness with our life. So let me just give you this real quick, and I think you'll find it fascinating. Let me sum up everything that we talked about from all the verses tonight so that you can easily put this in play. And I'm going to read it to you because it's important. So we represent God by distributing his goods and living a life that can be read by all. We carry the produce of his fruit and produce the
we carry and produce his fruit. We light the way in darkness and bring the preserving agent of God to the lost and dying world. And his name is Jesus. And we show him off.
And it sums up everything. You are the show-off agents of God. That's quite a responsibility, my friends. And that is not only a responsibility, that is something that will influence a world to come to know who the real agent of life is. His name is what? Jesus. If you got something from God tonight, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.